Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. Okay, so today we're going to be doing something a little different because Mapalo, last week you actually wrote this piece on how to manage your money as a freelancer. And because we spend so much time talking about markets, which I think was really important, we didn't really get to talk about this. And I think considering that both you and I are freelancers, we could talk about this with great authority for hours at end.
Yes.
So if you're listening to this and either you're a freelancer, you've got a lot of gigs, or even if you're fully employed, but you've got a side gig or you're earning multiple income, this is the podcast for you.
For you. Absolutely, Maya. So, you know what? I don't know if I can talk about it with authority because I've had my glitches, but we'll talk about it as we get into the podcast.
I think as authority with experience, I think that's experience, what I mean by it. Like, yes, we've experienced this, so we can tell you all the things we've done horribly wrong. So that's maybe...
Absolutely. I think that's where I come in.
So you come in. So, and I think you wrote this article for yourself, Mapalo, because your first point was get organized. And I think getting organized is without a doubt the hardest part because you're so busy writing, in our case, writing, podcasting, televisioning, that actually doing the invoicing and the paperwork is like often the last thing we do.
Absolutely, Maya. I think, you know, like you're saying, getting organized, that was the hardest part for me. You know, I think I'm a fairly organized person in my life, but when it came to my own business and running a woman in finance, it was very hard because now, like you said, you know, you're producing content, you're trying to think up new ideas of how to get your message across. So the admin side can really, really just lag behind. And if you don't do that right, you'll find that months later that your business is just kind of, you know, it comes to a standstill because you've neglected so much. So getting organized definitely is very, very important.
And so what do you find is it's the invoicing. So, I mean, I often forget to invoice somebody, or you're invoicing them like a month later, then they only pay like 3 months off that invoice and you forget to collect it. So where do you find the paperwork going kind of haywire?
Yeah. You know what, because you do so much content, right? And the thing is when you are doing freelancing or you are part of the gig economy, you are doing so many things at the same time, right? And people kind of forget that, you know what, you don't just work for one company. You probably at the same time working for five companies, you know, and producing different content for each one. So definitely the invoicing, sometimes you do forget. But, you know, I never forget to invoice, Maya, ever. Ever.
Okay, good. Like, good for you.
It's not a problem I have. I actually have it on my diary and it pops up every time. Like as soon as I get an email and confirmation that you've got this gig, for me, I have something that pops up to say, okay, send an invoice on this day immediately.
Yeah.
But where sometimes I fail is following up, you know, because then other things come through and, you know, you've invoiced, but you forget to follow up because really most of these companies, they kind of forget that, you know what, you've worked for them and
they don't seem to think it's a priority to pay you. This is what I find. Yeah.
No, she did the work. We'll pay her when we get
bonds. I'm sure she has lots of money because she writes about money or talks about money. She doesn't need more. Do you have an accountant or do you just DIY it?
So in the beginning, I definitely used to DIY it and it was just more cost effective for me to do it that way. But now having an accountant, I've realized that it's so much better. You know, they will remind me and someone who I went to varsity with who's a CA and they have their own company and they will remind me, hey, remember to do this, remember to do that. But for me, I had an aha moment when I had an accountant because, you know, when you file your taxes at the end of the year and they're like, oh, you owe this much. She taught me that I must have a different account altogether where I put some money away to pay my tax.
Yes.
Which I had never, ever done before. Yes.
Very important.
At the end of the year, and I'm like, oh, how am I going to pay this?
I still remember that first provisional tax payment I had to make as a freelancer. I promise you, I think I could have bought a couch. All I remember was thinking, I could have bought a couch.
Ouch.
And it is the most painful thing because, of course, you've got to now, you know, in many cases, find the money. And when I talk to a lot of small business owners or freelancers like us, they haven't put the money away for tax.
Yes.
And it always had shock, and they often have to borrow money. You know, they have to put on their credit cards or something else to actually meet that. So it is, I think that's probably the best piece of advice. If you're listening to this entire podcast, you need to take one piece of advice. It is have a separate account. And I am so disciplined on that.
I had to be.
I know what my average tax rate is, so I put that away. If I feel like I can see I'm starting to bill more than last year, I'll put a little bit extra away. And I'm also VAT registered because when I started my business, I don't know how many years ago, the VAT level was actually 30,000 Rand a month. Was turnover and you had to be registered. So I've remained registered. The advice from my accountant was that it also is good for discipline because every 2 months you have to submit your VAT return. So I also put my VAT aside as well every month. So that discipline, incredibly important. And I think it can sink many, many freelancers. It's not something that you can bankroll, guys. You can't just say, oh, you know what? I'll use my tax this month to pay that, but I'll make it up next month. It doesn't work like that. The tax man will come for that money, guaranteed. So really,
absolutely. And you never want to be on the wrong side of the tax man ever.
And that's the other reason I use an accountant as well, is because of what is deductible and what's not tax deductible. And I like to know somebody who knows the rules and can actually give me good advice on that. So I think the whole tax side for me, I find quite useful on, you know, when it comes to having an accountant.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Maya. For me, that was another thing because I thought, no, man, I can just do my own e-filing and, you know, do this whole thing. But I realized there were things that I did not know that were tax deductible that would help lower my tax bill at the end. So having an accountant has really, really helped me with that. But I mean, in the beginning, trying to do the whole DIY thing, it was a mess.
Have you tried to use TaxTim at all? Because there are quite a few tools now. So for example, I would use Wave. Wave is a great accounting system for free.
Okay.
And then you've got Text. So that's your actual invoicing and you can link it to your bank account so it records your payments. There's also F&B. If you're actually an incorporated small business, you can use their instant accounting. But then TaxTim is the one where you can actually do your tax return yourself through text.
Oh, that's it.
I haven't used that one. I'm actually gonna maybe try it on my personal taxes this year. So I think there are quite a lot of tools out there for freelancers. You don't have to, if you don't have an accountant and you want to do your invoices yourself, like I still do my invoices myself. It's more that you know, it's for that tax return and making sure that I'm doing the things right that I use the accountant. But yeah, there's certainly a lot of, and I think you mentioned a couple of those as well. You talk about QuickBooks and Xero in your article.
I personally use QuickBooks and it just really just, it helps you do your invoicing, number one. And I like the fact that, you know, it records everything. So you know exactly how much you've invoiced, especially for that those tax returns. But what I really like about it as well is that you can add your accountant on it so they can work off the software. So you don't have to be sending them paper trails and all sorts of funny things. So literally they can see exactly how much you've invoiced, how much has been paid, and what you've canceled and all sorts of things. So I think it's most of this online apps or softwares are very good when it comes to, you know, all this accounting stuff.
And they're often free. I mean, many of them are free up to a certain point. So only when you want to do more complicated things, mine are still free. I don't pay any money for them. So that's pretty cool. Not everything in life comes free. And talking about keeping money aside for tax, and one of the other points that you made in the article, which is also so important, is keeping your personal and business finances separate. She just goes, because that also gets into a horrible mess. You actually have no idea how much money you're making or spending or anything. So how have you managed that? Do you have two bank accounts? Do you have a bank account for your actual business?
So I have a bank account for my business, which is completely separate. You know, it's called the Women in Finance one, and it's with FNB. And I have my own personal one. It's not with the same bank, but I pay myself a salary, you know. So I will get paid to all these different invoices, but I have a fixed amount regardless of what I've been paid from all these different organizations. I pay myself a fixed salary regardless of, you know, if one day I work with Maya on a project and she pays me 100,000, I
still that happens regularly, yes.
Not yet, but it's coming. So it's really just the discipline for me. It's really just the discipline to say, you know what? You never know what your next month is going to look like. I try to keep my living expenses as low as possible because I do not know if that invoice will be paid in the month that I thought it was going to be paid or not. So I cannot put myself in a financial tricky situation where, you know, I've spent all of this money and I have absolutely nothing left. And trust me, it's happened before. Okay, I'm talking from experience.
Okay, let me tell you, 1 December, it has happened to me, in fact, twice in December, where one of my big clients went on holiday without paying. You know, the financial manager goes away. So not only do, you know, as freelancers, we don't get 13th checks, but the month, in December, I was actually short of money. So I also run, I actually have an emergency fund, but my emergency fund is for what we would consider an emergency, as in the fridge breaks down or the, you know, the dog gets sick. But then it's the contingency fund, and that's that funding of your income. So, you know, ideally you really need to get to a point where you have several months banked in there for that exact reason, that if your invoice doesn't get paid or you have a really bad billing period, you can still survive. And, you know, I see that again, people are saying, oh, you know, how do you manage your money on a variable income? And I think you're absolutely right. You take a baseline, pay yourself a baseline salary. And then if there's some really good months and you want to, you know, you may want to splash out somewhere or what, you know, that's okay. But you've really got to learn to live on a base salary and really make sure. For me, it is absolutely vital that you have that contingency fund. And in fact, we were for Money Makeover and City Press, one of our, which we've just finished in end of March, one of our candidates, Tamsin, she's a freelancer, multiple income streams from various businesses. And we got her to a point where she has 3 months salary built up so that she can, and for the first time ever, she was starting to pay herself a monthly salary instead of just drawing down from the business willy-nilly as I need things. Because then you just, you know, you lose complete control over what it is. And I think that is the other point that you made in the article, which is know what it costs to run your life. But I think that's not in your life, it's your business.
Your business.
Because that's the other thing is if you're mixing it all, you actually don't know if you're making a profit. Or if a client comes to you and they say, can you do this? And this is what we're going to pay you. You don't actually know if that's worth your while unless you're keeping your proper expenses.
100%, 100% true. So What does it cost me to be doing this job? You know, is it return on the work that I'm doing or not? And I think a lot of freelancers, especially when you start getting jobs, it just feels like, oh my gosh, it's so fantastic. Okay, I'm actually getting paid for what I do, for my passion, for this thing that I left my job for. And in the excitement, you forget that it's still a business. And you need to do your profit and loss sheet and find out, actually, am I being profitable or not?
Absolutely. And I think it's, and also, you know, learning to say no to jobs. I think that's the other, you know, I know in the beginning, I was just so grateful for every little piece that came along. but you start to realize that you're not allocating your time efficiently. And you're saying, you know, I'm spending way too much time on this and I'm not really getting paid for it. And I think that's also part of that process. So I don't think you're going to get it right on day one. It is a process, but some of the things that you need to think about. And finally, this is really, really, really important. You know, we've spoken about the emergency fund and the contingency funds, but, you know, medical aid and life cover. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have to, unlike many employed people, I have to spend more money on my cover because I get sick. And I'm self-employed and nobody's going to be paying me that salary. So it's actually a really, really important part of the business.
Yeah. You know what, Maya, I've spoken to so many freelancers when they left their job, Obviously, now they don't have the group risk benefits or the pension or provident fund. And in their personal capacity, if they had those, life cover or disability, whatever the case is, medical aid, they would have them while they were working. And now when they jump ship and they become freelancers, they decide, you know what? It cost me too much money. So I'm going to cancel it. It's the first thing that goes on the budget line. It's the easiest thing to pick up a call and say, you know what? I want to cancel this. But from my experience, for me, it's so important. I have a child and I cannot imagine anything happening to me and not being able to give what I have, what I've been able to provide. You know, I do have my husband who helps me out. But it's so important, Maya. I was hospitalized after I had my baby, 2 months in. I think it was 3-4 months in. And you see the importance of medical aid. You really do. You absolutely, absolutely do. So for me, it's even more risky not paying that premium than paying it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think you're taking it, you're taking excessive risk almost when you sell
it. Exactly. No. I mean, I think being an entrepreneur is risky, but not having medical aid or, those insurance products, I think it's even more riskier.
And actually, I got a really interesting tip from my advisor. I have an advisor on all my life stuff. And he actually recommended that critical illness is actually one of the most important covers for me as a self-employed. Yeah. Because what he's found in his experience with his clients who are self-employed is that, say, for example, you get cancer. And you may have income protection, but income protection generally only kicks in after a month. So if you can't work for more than a month, because otherwise it's a bit too expensive. But he says, if you want chemo, there's nothing stopping you from going back to work every 2 weeks. So basically they may take a week off and then they take 2 weeks off, but then they're back. So they never hit that 1 month point where the income protection kicks in. And so that critical illness cover almost gives you that opportunity, because whilst we may not be, while we may still be behind the desk, we're nowhere near the level of productivity that we would be if we had our full health. And I think it's those kinds of things. And I think that's actually why, I must be honest, I do use an advisor, despite the fact that, I probably know more than the average person. That kind of it's his experience of claims and knowing the history of of his clients and seeing how it actually all really works out when the crunch comes.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wouldn't. It's critical illness or trade disease, if you want to call it that. But I think it's so, so important. And I look at young Black professionals as well, whom I talk to, who are my friends, and they say, I don't need this. But I have had friends who have had cancer scares at our young age. I mean, we are literally 30 years old, but I've had people who've had cancer scares. So for me, it's just non-negotiable. I don't care. It's just non-negotiable.
And I wanted to finish off. You're talking about, not living long. Now let's talk about not living too long. Maybe the final point I think you also talk about is obviously you've got to put together your own retirement annuities. You can't, because you're not with a company.
Yes.
And that to me, I love my retirement annuity, because what I do is I just pay a minimum that I know in that, remember that salary we pay ourselves, like the kind of basic to keep that annuity going. But then in February, I calculate and I think, do I have a tax problem? Yes, let me pack a whole lot of money into my RA.
Put
more money in and my tax rate drops. So I really love my RA because I kind of feel it's in one way to get some of that tax back from the tax man. So, I'm assuming you've got an RA.
Yeah, I do have an RA and I've always had a retirement annuity. And I think even just outside of being an entrepreneur, a freelancer, part of the gig economy, for most people in any case, Maya, your pension or provident fund is not enough. It really isn't. So for me, a retirement annuity, and I see this with so many entrepreneurs, so many freelancers who will say, no, but my business will keep me going. But I'm like, I don't want to be working when I'm 80 and just trying to survive in this business. And it really is that. It's a contingency plan for yourself to say, you know what, when I do not want to work anymore, I do have money.
Mm.
You know, for me, it's just mind-boggling as a freelancer for me not to put money away for my retirement. It just doesn't make sense.
But I mean, I think it's also not even about saying, you know, saying, oh, well, I'll work forever. A, you may not want to. B, you may want to start living your life a little bit, and maybe you want to cut back on work. And those are where all those factors come in. So, I mean, I think we've done a really great job, and I'm hoping by the end of this podcast, everybody has gone and taken out a separate bank account. They're paying themselves a salary. They're making sure they're putting their tax money away. They're putting some cover in place for when you know, when life happens. And finally, please make sure you're putting money away for your retirement as well, because one day you will actually want to retire. Trust me.
You will want to retire. I want to retire, Maya.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we'd look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.